When I was asked to speak on this topic, which is gifts, I felt this is going to be a challenge, and so it's turned out to be. It's a big subject, and there are many issues associated with it, and there are a lot of questions that could be asked, many of which, to be honest with you, I don't feel particularly competent to answer. But I prayed for wisdom from the Lord, and I hope that what I've got for you, for us, is understandable and helpful. Now, when I went through this at home, and what I was going to say, I realized that if I'm going to say it all, then I'm going to have to go fast. Okay? There's a lot of content here, and I don't want to leave any of it out. So, although much of what I say to do with gifts could do with further exploration, we won't have time for that. Okay, so we'll go through this quickly. In one or two places, you'll see I express an opinion. Now, you may have a different opinion. Okay, well, that's no problem. So I will give my opinion sometimes. Right, what am I trying to do in this presentation? My aim is to establish general principles and truth and not look too much on details, because there isn't time. And we will identify 12 noteworthy principles. Okay, now you'll say to me, when I point out what I think is a noteworthy principle, you'll say to me, Derek, my dear fellow, that's obvious. Okay, well, maybe it is. But sometimes the obvious needs stating. We also find 6 tragedies, 7 warnings, and we'll briefly comment on 4 questions. I don't say answer 4 questions, but comment on them. Now, you know, in Scripture, these numbers, 12, 6, 7, and 4, have significance. They don't have significance here, okay? It's just how it turned out. Okay, so we'll start with a noteworthy principle. This comes from James. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. So, note, all good gifts come from God. Now, hopefully, you've noticed by now that the topic of this conference is the assembly, okay? So we're going to focus on gifts that are given for the benefit of the assembly. But there are other gifts from God. So to put this into a wider context, okay, not our topic, but there are other gifts from God like the Holy Spirit, righteousness, salvation, eternal life, the gift to remain single, to suffer for Christ's sake. They're all gifts, gifts from God, but not our topic. So this is how we're going to schedule what I want to say. We'll talk about the giver, first of all. Then we'll talk about gifts to the assembly. And by that, I mean individuals with special abilities who are given to the assembly. Then we'll talk about gifts to individuals. And by that, I mean abilities given to individuals for the benefit of the assembly. And of course, there's an interaction between these two. Yeah. But in Scripture, they are separate, mostly, and we'll speak about them separately. Then we'll summarize, well, list, I suppose, the noteworthy principles that I've suggested as we talked about the previous topics. Then we'll look at our warnings, and then we'll notice our questions. So we'll start with the giver. And this is what Paul writes in the Ephesians. To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. So the gifts are given by the Lord Jesus Christ following his ascension. We find that they're given through the Holy Spirit. So a couple of scriptures on this. in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 and 8, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, etc. And in the same chapter, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Okay, now moving on. We're going to talk about gifts to the assembly. There are two main scriptures covering this. Ephesians 4 and part of 1 Corinthians 12. Okay, we'll look at these separately. Ephesians 4, verse 11 says, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, it's worth noting at this stage that unlike offices, I think this has already been said by Michael, essentially, unlike offices like elder, overseer, whatever, which I think David is speaking to us in the next lecture. These gifts, the gifts, are for the assembly on earth in the widest sense. So one could be a teacher in one assembly and go to another and also teach. Okay. Now, what's the purpose of these gifts? Okay. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, five verses with an enormous content. There's so much in there. Yeah? It's not something we can absorb quickly, and we don't have time to go into it. I've just pulled out what I think are four purposes from that passage. Okay? Study it at home. The equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Okay, now let's remember the word ministry just means service, nothing else. Okay, so to equip the saints for serving the Lord, for edifying the body of Christ. Now, the word translated edify means build up. So to spiritually build up the body of Christ, that we should no longer be carried about with every wind of doctrine, so to provide doctrinal stability, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, to bring maturity in Christ. So that's the purpose of these gifts for the assembly. Yes, these individuals. Now, the assembly has foundational gifts, and this also has been previously mentioned. As it says also in Ephesians, you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. So apostles and prophets are foundational gifts. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Why foundational gifts? The early believers didn't have the New Testament. So they're instructed by apostles and prophets. Of course, there weren't many apostles. Yeah. So God gave prophets. And Ephesians 3, verses 4 and 5 says, the mystery of Christ has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the power of the Spirit. This has already been mentioned. Okay, so moving on. What about the continuing gifts? Okay, those were the foundational gifts, apostles and prophets. Well, I believe prophets are a continuing gift. So with the assembly having the complete scriptures, the foundational aspects of a prophet's role doesn't exist any longer. But prophets are there to provide a suitable word from God for the assembly of that place and time to provide edification and encouragement. And there's evangelists, pastors, teachers, and we remind ourselves of the purpose of these individuals, to equip the saints for serving the Lord, to spiritually build up the body of Christ, to provide doctrinal stability, and to bring to maturity in Christ. Okay, so that was Ephesians 4. Now we move to 1 Corinthians 12. Okay, just a part of that chapter. Now you're Christ's body and members in particular. And God has set certain in the assembly, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and then after apostles, prophets, and teachers. We see other gifts being mentioned, but as having a lesser place. So there's miraculous powers, gifts of healing, helps, governments, kinds of tongues. They're all gifts, important. Okay, so moving on. We're now talking about gifts to individuals. Okay, and we'll start with another noteworthy principle. Okay, this is a scripture we've already read. To each one of us, we all have gifts. Each one of us. And another one? They're gifts of grace. We don't deserve the gifts. Yeah, it's not that I'm so wonderful, the Lord has given me a gift. No, we don't deserve these gifts. They're gifts of grace, undeserved favor. And here's a scripture from 1 Peter. Each according as he has received a gift, ministering it to one another as good stewards of the various grace of God. If anyone speak, as oracles of God. If anyone minister or serve, as of strength which God supplies, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom is the glory and the might for the ages of ages. Amen. And so what I want to draw from that is this. Using our gifts glorifies God. And I'm sure we all want to glorify God, don't we? Okay, so there are two main passages that refer to gifts given to individual believers. And they're in Romans 12, not the whole chapter, but part of Romans 12 and part of 1 Corinthians 12 to 14. So this is how we're going to tackle this. First of all, we're going to note emphases from each of these passages, Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 to 14, and draw out some noteworthy principles. And then we'll go back and we're going to list some of the gifts that are mentioned. And we will talk briefly about one or two of the gifts. So going to Romans 12. Let's pull out some verses from there. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that's given to us, let us use them. Now I would suggest the emphases of that part of Romans 12 that deals with gifts are these. We're united with each other in Christ. Notice it says we are one body in Christ. Yep. I mean, we've already covered this in previous talks, but we're united with each other in Christ. And secondly, we're interdependent. So we're members of one another. We need each other. What I find very sad is when individuals perhaps fall out with somebody in the assembly and stop coming, isolate themselves. That's very sad. We need each other. And I'm going to draw out a principle from this. As individuals, we have different gifts, having then gifts differing. Now, you'll say that's obvious, but it's still worth saying. And another principle, gifts are to be used. Yeah, let us use them. Yeah. Right, so I said there are two scriptures that are primarily to do with gifts for individuals, so part of Romans 12 and part of 1 Corinthians 12 to 14. So what's the emphasis of these chapters? Well, I'm pulling out a few verses here. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And then a verse at the end of the chapter, I will show you a more excellent way, and then going into chapter 13, love. So I'm suggesting that the emphases in these three chapters are there are many gifts given through the Holy Spirit. The use of the gifts must be under the Spirit's control. We find that more in, actually, in chapter 14, not in those verses I've put up there. And love should motivate their use. Okay, now I'm going to draw a principle from this. There are diversities of gifts. There are many different sorts of gifts. And another principle, they're given for the benefit of all. Yeah, for the profit of all. And another verse, a bit further on in 1 Corinthians 12. One and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So the Spirit distributes gifts as he wills. Now, all gifts are for the benefit of the saints. And it's easy for us to focus on the use of gifts in assembly meetings. I mean, that's we've been focusing on assembly meetings in the last two lectures. And it's easy to focus on that. But there is very much more, you know. Not everything we do is an assembly meeting. Okay, so let's just quickly run through some of these gifts. So going back to Romans 12, this is what we read. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now I'm going to put those out on the next slide. There they are. Now, there's something worthy of note here, I think. Particularly with the last three. But it applies to all of them. But we can particularly see it with the last three here. We need the right attitude in using our gifts. Okay? He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. He who gives with liberality. We need the right attitude in using our gifts. Now, the other scripture was 1 Corinthians 12 to 14. So we looked at Romans 12, now 1 Corinthians 12 to 14. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And if we also look at verse 28 in the same chapter, we see one or two others, gifts mentioned, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Okay, now I'm just listing them on this slide. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues, helps, administrations. Okay. Now, at this point, I would like to just say a word about sign gifts. I'm thinking of gifts of healing, the working of miracles, different kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues. They were given to the early church as a sign of the Spirit's power and presence. Now, I think we have to be careful here, careful in talking about these matters. Let's not, in the way we talk, limit God's power and authority. Okay? God is sovereign. He can do exactly as he wishes. You know, he can give someone one of these gifts, should he so wish. But the scriptures say of tongues that they will cease. And the evidence that we have suggests that the sign gifts ceased very early on. Perhaps when the church was established with the complete scriptures, I think probably before, I'm reminded that Paul had the gift of healing. He healed many people on the island of Malta. You remember? Acts 28, I think, end of the Acts. But the last letter he wrote to Timothy, he says, I left Trophimus ill at Miletus. Is that right? Anyway, he left him ill somewhere. Okay, and then we have a few more verses. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all in possession of miraculous powers, have all gifts of healings, do all speak with tongues. Can you still hear me? Do all interpret. Okay, and then, but desire earnestly the greater gifts. So there's something to draw from that, and that is that some gifts are greater than others. And a second principle to draw from that, by implication, it's not specifically stated, but it's strongly implied, the Lord will sometimes give, if there is an earnest desire, earnestly desire the greater gifts. And then we get this. I will show you a more excellent way. Now, what's this more excellent way? We should know by now. It's already been, we've already stated it ourselves and we've told it previously. The more excellent way is, of course, love. That's definitely a noteworthy principle. And then we have that wonderful chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. And I find it very interesting that the Holy Spirit chose to put that chapter right in the middle of a section on gifts. It could have gone almost anywhere in the New Testament. But no, the Holy Spirit put it when talking about gifts. So there's obviously an important principle here that the gifts particularly need to be exercised in love. Okay? Now we come to our tragedies. Yeah? Six tragedies. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Just a load of noise. Irritating noise. If I have prophecy but have not love, I'm nothing. If I have all mysteries and all knowledge but have not love, I'm nothing. I can know the scriptures well, but if I have not love, I'm nothing. If I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. If I shall dole out all my goods in food but have not love, I profit nothing. If I deliver up my body that I may be burned, but have not love, I profit nothing. Okay. Now, I take it from this, though I'm open to correction, that when it says I profit nothing, it means that the Lord will not reward that work. Yeah, the Lord gives rewards, but if I do things which I think are for him, but without love, then there's no reward from him. So gifts and practices unaccompanied by love are tragedies. Okay, let's quickly run through what it says about love. The better way is patient, is kind. Do we use our gifts in that way? Patiently, kindly, doesn't envy, doesn't boast, it's not arrogant, it's not rude, does not insist on its own way, it's not irritable, it's not resentful, does not rejoice at wrongdoing, rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether prophecies, they'll be done away, or tongues, they shall cease, or knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away. So what do we learn from those three verses? Tongues shall cease. Prophecies and knowledge shall be done away when the perfect comes, Christ. Love never fails, or love never ends. Now, I want to make a brief comment on tongues and prophecies. I think tongues are true languages. Tongues in Scripture, I believe, are true languages. I know there's some who think that what's sometimes termed glossolalia is the gift of speaking in tongues. But I think Scripture tells us that the gift of speaking in tongues is speaking in true languages. And I take it at least partly from this Scripture. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. What's he talking about? Languages. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. What's he talking about? Languages. And then following that, he says, even so you, since you're zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek. So there's this link between languages and spiritual gifts. Okay? Prophecies, messages for building up the assembly. He who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who prophesies edifies the church. And Paul compares these two gifts. He says, in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding. That's not many, is it? That I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Okay, moving on. Let's summarize or list our noteworthy principles. All good things that we have are given by God. There are many different sorts of gifts. Some gifts are greater than others. The Spirit distributes gifts as he wills. We all have gifts. As individuals, we have different gifts. We don't deserve these gifts. Our gifts are to be used. Our gifts are for the benefit of others. We need the right attitude in using our gifts. Gifts must be used in love. Using our gifts glorifies God. Okay. Now, our seven warnings. We'll go through these very quickly. First of all, being a well-gifted person does not make you a spiritual Christian. Okay? And that's very clear from the letter to the Corinthians. He says to the Corinthians, you come short in no gift. They were well-gifted. But what else do we read about them? There are contentions among you. You're still carnal. There are envy, strife, and divisions among you. There's sexual immorality among you. You're puffed up. Your glorying is not good. Brother goes to law against brother. You come together not for the better, but for the worse. Being a well-gifted Christian does not make you a spiritual Christian. Warning two, don't think too highly of yourself and your giftedness. Just before gifts are described, Paul writes, for I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So, I know you may have a great gift. But don't think too highly of it. I find it interesting that Paul writes that, or the Holy Spirit gives this to Paul to write just before describing gifts. There's a link here with gifts. Yeah. Do not think too highly of yourself and your gifts, I would say. You know? Gifts must be exercised in love. Now, we've said that already. Don't be envious of others' gifts and try to emulate them or denigrate them, because the Holy Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Okay, so don't say my gifts are so trivial I won't bother with them. As Paul writes to Timothy, do not neglect the gift that is in you. Don't hide or ignore your gifts. Use them. And again, we use the same scripture. Do not neglect the gift that's in you. And warning 7, don't be too focused on lesser gifts. Now, that may not be too much of a problem for us. It probably applies more to the Corinthians. But the warning is there. Desire earnestly the greater gifts rather than the lesser gifts. Okay, I see I'm slightly over time, but not too much, I hope. Okay, 4 questions where I'm just going to mention the question and make some comments. I'm not suggesting these comments are really anything like full answers, but these are some questions that could arise. How do I know what my gifts are? Well, I don't think you're going to find the answer unless we're serving the Lord. And often, I think, they'll be given on our natural abilities. Our natural abilities, of course, are God-given. And I'm reminded of this scripture in Matthew 25. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his particular ability. Now, the context there, of course, is not spiritual gifts. But I think there is a principle there that God would normally give according to ability, but we can't take that as a rule. Okay? Do sisters receive gifts? Well, yes, sisters have gifts as well as brothers, but we have to note that Scripture does make some limitations on their use. So we know, for example, in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, let your women be silent in the assemblies. In 1 Timothy 2, I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man. Question 3, can I be given other gifts? Well, we've already noted that 1 Corinthians 12:31 says, desire earnestly the greater gifts. And in chapter 14, desire to prophesy. So the obvious implication from that is, yes, but note, since you're zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Yeah, not for your own self-aggrandizement or anything. Question 4, should I do the Lord's work even if I can't identify my gifts? Okay, and I think the answer to this is yes, if you prayerfully and carefully consider the Lord wants you to do that work. Yeah. If you're convinced that that's what the Lord wants you to do, if he's called you to do the work, he will equip you to do the work. And then finally, let's note what the Lord Jesus says, if anyone serves me, him my Father will honour.